WMS Fall Fun Drive Membership Drive is coming up soon, and you might have received a letter from us asking you to renew your membership or make a special gift. Please return that letter with your investment in community radio or give online right now to support this show at WMNF.org. Thanks for keeping WMNF Radio active for 33 years. I'm Duncan Strauss, really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll discuss a variety of topics with award-winning TV journalist and best-selling author Jane Velez Mitchell, host of her own show each weeknight on the cable network HLN. First, though, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Hot Club of Cowtown with a piece called Wildcat here on Talking Animals. Called Wildcat, animal tune source, eases us into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name's Duncan Strauss. Here is our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Jane Velez Mitchell, the award-winning TV journalist and best-selling author. Velez Mitchell hosts her own program entitled, appropriately enough, Jane Velez Mitchell. Each weeknight on HLN, that's CNN's sister network, formerly called CNN Headline News. She is an environmentalist, vegan, and animal rights advocate, and has often been at the forefront of reporting on factory farming, animal cruelty, various other animal welfare issues. We'll discuss some of this and more when Jane Velez Mitchell joins us in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And while speaking with Velez Mitchell, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Also, a bit later in the show, we'll step into the Comedy Corner. We'll play Name That Animal Tune. The winner will receive a Talking Animals t-shirt. You know, we recently unveiled a new Talking Animals logo, so the t-shirts and other merch bearing the previous logo are increasingly collector's items, so get them while they're hot. And while they're left, for that matter. And with WMF's Fall Fun Drive just 3 weeks away, we hope you might consider helping Talking Animals get a jump on our fundraising while we help you score tickets to the sure-to-be-amazing show by Andrew Bird, October 9th at the Straz Center for Performing Arts. Bird is an animal guy in a few ways. I'm referring to far more than his surname here. More on Andrew Bird and his animal connections, and an animal song by him, actually, later on in the show. Right now, though, it's time for the animal news and announcement segment, a look at items of interest and animal news, as well as announcements of local events on the horizon. Produced, as always, by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department. Our first item, I just want to elaborate a little bit. You know, the fun drive is really on the horizon, fast approaching. In fact, it's 3 weeks from today. It's October 10th through 17th, meaning it starts once again on a Wednesday. And Talking Animals will then therefore be among the first shows to ask for your support. So we hope we can count on your support then and now. It's immensely helpful to get a running start, so maybe you'll consider an early pledge for those Andrew Bird tickets. We'll tell you more about that later in the show. Either way, if you like Talking Animals and the work we do here, appreciate the interviews with the ride array of guests and enjoy the animal comedy and songs, etc., love to have you slip something in our tip jar. Let's say you can't go see Andrew Bird, but you want to help out, and you want to help out today, which would be awesome. Just go to the WMNF.org, click on the full schedule link in the upper left-hand corner, then click on Talking Animals. That's, of course, Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Zoom up and click on the tip jar. And then if you can drop in $30, $50, if you can swing $100 or more, great, great, great. Whatever you can afford would be much appreciated. Again, really just hoping to get a nice head start on the fund drive, and it'd be terrific if you could help me, which of course helps WMNF. So thanks for that. Now, this isn't really quite animal news, although it's indirectly, because I want to talk a little bit about Joyce and this cool event we got coming up. And Joyce was a pivotal figure in the Talking Animals festivals back when we did those. So anyways, this Sunday, September 23rd, her show, Shakedown Sunday, will be broadcasting live in Temple Terrace from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Sierra Club's National Plug-in Day event. National Plug-in Day is a nationwide observance drawing global attention to the environmental, economic, and other benefits of plug-in electric vehicles through simultaneous event stage in cities nationwide. So Joyce, as you hopefully know, is the host of Shakedown Sunday every Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m. And she's going to be joined on this cool remote by Katarina, who hosts of Indie FM. It's Friday mornings from 4 to 6 a.m. And Joyce was on with Randy this morning talking a little bit about this and about her show. And really, I mean, this is a cool event. Hope you'll, you know, head out and check it out in person, or at least be sure to check in with her on the radio or WNF.org. It's Joyce's Shakedown Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m. every Sunday. Really one of the great, great shows. There's a bunch of great music shows, of course, on WNF. But Joyce really kind of understands sort of the art of radio, the art of doing a cool music radio show, and really you know, executes that each week. It's a must-hear show. So again, it's Shakedown Sunday every Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m. here on WMNF. Now, on to some actual animal news and announcements. Do you live in the 33610 area code? If so, I got a cool piece of news for you, I think. The Humane Society of Tampa Bay Animal Health Center, located at 3809 North Armenia Avenue, is offering cat sterilizations for, I can't say the price, as you probably know on the air, but it could not be more reasonable price. For indoor-outdoor cats living in the 33610 zip code area, thanks to a huge grant from PetSmart Charities, the better part of $200,000 apparently. So residents living in 33610 can call 813-870-3304 to make an appointment for a free sterilization for their cat or cats. And this is offers effective immediately and will remain available really through, it sounds like, this time next year, or until the funds from the grant are used up. So, and anyway, it's the grant is available for owned outside cats and aims to assist with the society's trap, neuter, vaccinate, return program for community, meaning feral cats, where free-roaming cats are humanely trapped, spayed or neutered, vaccinated, and then returned to their colony to live out their lives disease-free and without reproducing. Volunteer caregivers feed the colonies daily and monitor the health and well-being of the cats in their care. The cats pose no threat to the community, and their populations decrease as they cease to reproduce. Quote, TNVR efforts in Hillsborough County have been highly successful, helping to reduce the cat euthanasia rate in the county by 46% since 2007, said Sherry Silk, executive director of the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. This incredibly generous grant will allow us to care even more for cats and ensure that fewer animals are born unwanted to a life of hardship and probable euthanasia. And on a related note, just want to remind you, as we have periodically, to check out and support in whatever ways you can, petitions, other kinds of support, just staying abreast of things. You know, there's been this movement afoot by some veterinarians and others to try to end TNR in Hillsborough County, despite all those virtues that we just mentioned there and have talked about otherwise on the show, and, you know, the success of TNR programs across the country and other countries as well. So anyways, just want to remind you, if you want to find out more or help out in any way, one simple way to do that is go on Facebook and just search for TNR Hillsborough. They have a good page with all kinds of info and updates, and so that's a good place to stay caught up on that. And sort of on a related note, a campaign by the Pets Trust Initiative Group to reduce killing animals in Miami-Dade County aims to gain support from voters in a non-binding referendum on the November 6th general election ballot. The plan would create two super clinics in North and South Miami-Dade County, offering free or affordable spaying and neutering and or neutering services, as well as low-cost veterinary care for qualified pet owners. Registered voters will have the opportunity to approve building facilities to help end euthanizing an estimated 20,000 animals annually at the county's animal services shelter. According to Michael Rosenberg, Pets President, Pets Trust President, who also has the Kendall Federation of Homeowner Associations, quote, taxpayers are currently paying about $300 per year for every animal that comes through the county shelter, explained Rosenberg, who initiated the idea along with animal advocates Rita Schwartz and Lindsay Gordon. We could spay or neuter for an average $65 per year at these clinics. Approved unanimously as a non-binding referendum by Miami-Dade commissioners on July 17th. A yes vote would allow a general millage hike of around 10 cents per $1,000 effective in a fiscal 2013 to build facilities and initiate special programs. So we'll keep an eye on that, track that for you here on Talking Animals. Let's see, some other little events coming up shortly, including this weekend, include there will be a buffet and a screening of the film Peaceable Kingdom at the Tampa Loving Hut on Saturday, September 22nd. The buffet will start at 11 a.m. and close at 9 p.m. Be available, obviously, throughout the day. There'll be a chef special as well. And they'll also be showing the movie Peaceable Kingdom. The screening will start at 9 p.m., but they may show some other times during the day as well. And the other things, prizes, etc. So you can find out more. Loving Hut. It's on East Fletcher Avenue. Phone number there is 813-977-7888. Coming up Sunday, October 7th, it's Racing for Rescues. That's going to be at Showtime Speedway in Clearwater from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And all proceeds will be donated to the attending 501c3 Rescues. And the whole shebang is a family event that's dedicated to raising funds and donations for those animal rescues. And there'll be adoptions, canine educational demonstrations, silent auction, raffles, cutest doggy contest, pet donation booth, games, food, and pet-related vendors, and a kids' art contest, live music by Treble Hook, and much, much more. So you can find out more by calling 727-637-1968 or simply emailing racing4rescues@gmail.com. And also on the horizon, it's the Tampa Bay Veg Fest. It's going to be October 13th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Cotonchobee Fort Brooke Park. And a big, sprawling, ambitious, cool event, including vegetarian and vegan food, eco-friendly and healthy living vendors, live music speakers, including Dr. Michael Greger, great, great speaker. He does this thing, nutritionfacts.org, where he uploads a new nutrition food-related video every single day for free. And he's been a guest on Talking Animals, and just a great, really compelling, magnetic, really funny, charismatic speaker. So he'll be speaking there, as will Victoria Moran, author most recently of Main Street Vegan, Kenneth Williams, the champion bodybuilder and vegan. He probably doesn't get asked where he gets his protein so much. And anyway, it's just a great event. It's the third annual one. And terms of cost, again, can't get into that, but again, could not be more reasonable, the price, to get in. So there's vendors and booths. WNF will actually have a booth there this year. I'll be there part of the day. Anyways, it's just going to be a great, 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 great films, including Forks Over Knives, Veducated, which we showed recently, The Witness, Peaceful Kingdom, which I just referred to, and other stuff. So to find out more by going to TampaBayVegFest.org, and chief organizer Isabel Tosi will be our guest October 3rd to sort of fill us in more on that. So anyways, we're going to come back to more information and announcements later on in the show. I think we'll have time, hopefully. But right now, it's time to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner. And in the course of my conversation with Jane Velez Mitchell, it's possible that the Humane Society of the U.S. may come up. So with that possibility in mind, I thought we'd go with this comedy piece, which has an amusing reference to the Humane Society, among other features. This is Matt Bronger with a portion of a piece I'm calling Owls, Part 2, on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
But the kids want owls. Look, I know a lot of you guys are like, nuts to you, I'm getting an owl. Don't do it, okay? Because a friend of mine was driving once after a storm, and he found a baby owl that fell out of a tree, right? A baby owl. Can you imagine anything cuter than a baby owl? Like, don't hurt your brain. It's impossible, right? Not even a kitten with an eye patch is cuter than a baby owl. And that's cute. A little pirate kitten, right? My friend gets this, gets it home, and he calls the Humane Society. He's like, hey, I found a baby owl. How do I raise it? And the guy's like, let it go, dummy. The Humane Society called him a dummy. Like, their name means the Be Nice Society. You know they weren't messing around, you know? But they told him this. They said, an owl that you raise in captivity will never stop trying to attack you. And it knows it's you. It knows who you are. Imagine having this animal in your house growing strong off its hatred of you. Just sitting in a cage doing owl prison exercises, getting ready. Like waiting for that day he makes his Hannibal Lecter-like escape wearing another owl's face. Surprise! I'm not the good owl. Death! Like you come home, he's taunting you. You've had a hard day at work coming home and you see this. Hey, how's it going, buddy? Yeah, it's me, your owl. Didn't get that promotion, huh? That sucks. Know what else sucks? I'm going to kill you when I get out. Oh, you're going to hide from me? You can never hide. My head goes all the way around. You're dead. All right, stay loose. Prepare for war. Stay loose. Thank you, guys.
All right. That was Matt Bronger with a portion of a piece I'm calling Owls Part 2, taken from his first appearance on Letterman. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Jane Velez Mitchell. As I noted earlier, Jane is, of course, the award-winning TV journalist who hosts her own self-titled program each weeknight on the HLN network. She's also a New York Times best-selling author, most recently of Attic Nation. And we're delighted that she's here on the radio with us today. So with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Jane Velez Mitchell to Talking Animals. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us on Talking Animals.
Delighted.
And, of course, I'm talking to you from not too far, I guess, from where your first job, or one of them, was Fort Myers, right? I think you were.
Oh, yes. That was my very first job in television.
Yeah.
Great town.
For sure. So, anyway, as the host of a nightly show on cable television, you are, distinctive, I think, in a number of ways. Perhaps the most singular aspect of your program maybe is the degree to which you report on animal welfare stories and sort of your no-holds-barred animal advocacy on air. So I want to kind of circle back to discuss, animal stories you've broken on the show and what drives that. But first, though, I think it can be really illuminating and inspiring sometimes to hear the path someone has arrived at speaking and working so passionately on behalf of animals. Can you trace that path for us a little bit?
Well, yeah. I was raised in Midtown Manhattan. My mom is from Puerto Rico, and she actually had a pet pig when she was 4 or 5 years old that she thought was her pet. And the pig was slaughtered for food, and she came home and saw it on the dining table on a spit, set up as that happens sometimes, and she fainted, and she never ate meat again. And so I was raised in kind of a pescatarian household. We thought we were vegans, but we were pescatarians. We ate fish. My dad, who was Irish, was a big meat eater, and then he met my mom, and they married, and he also went pescatarian. So I had that knowledge of the food on your plate is not just a piece of meat. It's an animal, or he or she was an animal that had eyes, ears, a heart, felt pain, felt loneliness. You know, pigs have a higher IQ than dogs. And so I was raised with that awareness. I find that the most important thing is for people to become conscious of what they're doing, you know, as opposed to telling people you have to change your diet. It's like, first, let people know what you're eating. The awareness, the knowledge is sometimes can be conveyed in a couple of moments. I love to just send people Farm to Fridge. It's a video. It's a link. I think it was put together by Mercy for Animals. But Pete has also put together one called Meet Your Meat. It's been narrated by the likes of Sir Paul McCartney and Alec Baldwin. And just I just send people. I say, look, the words, I could talk to you till I'm blue in the face. Just take a look at a couple of visuals of what they do to these animals on these factory farms. You know, people say they love animals. And I think the vast majority of Americans are decent people who love animals very much. And people call me from all parts of the country and say, thank you for what you do for animals. And we have to broaden the concept beyond dogs and cats and horses, even though I fight for horses like crazy and dogs and cats. But the vast majority of animals in the country are farm animals. There's up to 10 billion farm animals that are raised and killed for food every year. And those animals are pigs and cows. And people really, it's incumbent upon people to learn what happens to these animals, because once you understand it, then you have a decision to make about whether you want to co-sign that. And this is not the family farm anymore. These are vast industrial farms where these animals, pigs, are kept in gestation crates the size of their bodies. They can scratch themselves. And that, when the Americans saw what really went on inside these factory farms, all of a sudden there was an outrage and an uproar, and changes started to be made. But they're still in place, these pig gestation crates. So it's up to the consumers to say, I don't want to subsidize cruelty. And then the changes will be made. Really, the consumers have the power, and there's been efforts to what has been called the ag-gag bill by critics.
Yeah.
Criminalized going in with an undercover camera and showing, like, what do you have to hide? If it's not cruel, then why not show the world what's going on with these pig gestation crates? The veal calves, same thing. You know, people say, well, dairy isn't cruel. Well, the baby boy calves, which they have no use for in the dairy industry, obviously female cows produce milk. The baby boy calves are ripped from their mothers, often at birth, and they're stuck in crates.
Yeah.
And they languish in crates to keep their flesh soft. So Americans are decent people. They love animals, but we really just need to expand the notion of animals beyond dogs and cats and horses and a few other select animals that are on another tier, sort of you call the elite animals, and realize that all of these animals have just the same feelings as your dog or cat. And since most of the animal cruelty laws exempt farm livestock production, if you did to your dog or cat what is being done on a regular basis to more than 9 billion farm animals, you'd be very likely charged with animal cruelty. So if you kept your dog in a crate, never able to turn around, a tight crate that was the size of its body or his or her body, you'd be charged with animal cruelty after a few days. But
yeah,
this is how they live their whole lives.
Right. Well, and one of the things that you're really sort of pointing out, too, is just this sort of disconnect, this sort of cognitive dissonance that you just see repeatedly. And like you just sort of outlined, you know, hey, we all love animals. We have dogs and cats here in our living room and in our backyard. But and then it's the but that's the crucial thing, where there's no connection made for so many folks about those animals that, you know, end up on their plate at night.
Yeah. And again, just. Check out Farm to Fridge. It's just all you have to do is Google it. It'll come up, and if you watch it, and or I don't know, 5 minutes or so. I don't know how long it is exactly, but it's very short. And if it moves you, send it out on your Facebook to everyone you know. That's, I think, the great thing about the internet is that people, you know, as a journalist, it's incumbent upon me to speak for the voiceless and to look for injustice. And this is one of the greatest injustices to sentient beings in the history of our country. I mean, this is a horror, and we need to stop it. So, yeah, I've gone on, out on a limb and talked about it. And, you know, it's not just me now. A lot of other people have begun to talk about this. This is a serious issue because it also affects human beings. I mean, we have an obesity crisis in this country. There was just a report yesterday that said by 2030, almost half or about half of all Americans will be obese. And really, it's the overconsumption of meat and dairy products. We're eating more meat and dairy than any culture in the history of humankind. And it's not helping us. It's giving us not only obesity, type 2 diabetes, which, you know, because if you're eating fast food, you're eating a lot of sugar, as well as it comes packaged. You know, the cheeseburger and shake, a combo, and all the other things. It's sugar, salt, fat, sugar, salt, fat. These are addictive substances. In my book, Addict Nation, I talked about how fast food is packed with substances that we are biologically pre-programmed to crave to get us through times of famine. But now it's working against us. So in the course of my journey, I'm a recovering alcoholic with 17 years of sobriety. I have had to give up a lot of things, and I'm happier for it. I gave up meat and dairy. I never really ate that much. I may have tasted meat a few times when I was growing up, but basically I've been a pescatarian all my life. And then as I grew up, I gave up dairy as I learned about dairy. And also, I don't believe, and there's a growing chorus of people who say, you know, dairy is for baby calves. It's not supposed to be consumed by humans. It's the mother's milk designed by cows, by nature, for cows to give to calves. It fattens up a calf very quickly from a little spindly thing into a huge, huge animal very quickly. So if we're dealing with an obesity crisis, the last thing we should be consuming, I believe, is a lot of dairy, the calories, and also the fact that it's it's a very unnatural thing, I believe, for a human being to drink the mother's milk of another species. And so once we're weaned from our own mother's milk, I mean, I'm perfectly healthy. I get calcium and all sorts of sources. You just look up calcium, other sources other than dairy, and hundreds of things will pop up from vegetables and fruits. And this whole notion, then the other notion is the protein. Well, what do you do for protein? It's the first question I'm asked all the time. Look, have you ever gone to the doctor and had him say or her say, you know what, you're suffering from a protein deficiency? No. This is something that has been basically promoted as a selling tool, essentially. Sure, some protein is important, but we as a culture are eating more protein than ever in the history of humankind. And where has it gotten us? We've had an obesity crisis. So we've got, obviously, Bill Clinton, the former president of the United States, went on essentially a vegan diet. I think he eats occasional fish, but he's talked about it.
Yeah.
Google Bill Clinton vegan, because his arteries were clogged. You know, there is no cholesterol in plants, period, zero, no cholesterol. So what our culture, and I talk about this in Addict Nation, does is say, eat a lot of meat products and then go and take a cholesterol pill. No, just reduce the amount of meat you're eating or eliminate it, and your cholesterol will go down unless you're one of the rare individuals who has a genetic predisposition. This is really simple stuff. Fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains. This is what nature created for us to eat. It's all over the place. People think, well, oh, vegetables, what do you eat? Oh, I eat tons of stuff. I don't just eat potatoes and carrots and corn and broccoli. Those are four vegetables. There's hundreds and hundreds of vegetables out there and fruits, and they're delicious. But if your palate is numbed by fast food, you can't taste any of it.
Yeah, you won't respond.
It's like telling a heroin addict to have a cigarette and be satisfied with that. Once I cleansed my palate, and I also gave up sugar, I really started to taste the fruit, the sweetness in fruits. Last night, I had a little sweet urge, and I had a papaya and some grapes. And my gosh, it was just so satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're not programmed to say, hey, it's got to be a big sundae or a big piece of pie or whatever it might be. But
exactly.
So, you know, yeah, it's funny, Gene, just before you came out, I was doing some news items and announcements, and we have this cool Tampa Bay Veg Fest coming up. And one of the speakers is Kenneth Williams, the champion bodybuilder who's a vegan. So I even joked, like, hey, they probably don't ask him where he gets his protein because, obviously it looks like fantastic. So, and also, by the way, they're showing Farm to Fridge at that event. But so how do you think, I mean, you know, you are sort of, again, singular, as I said at the outset of the show, and in the way that you know, you obviously are incredibly passionate about this. You lived your life that way. And you do have the kind of TV show that really, you know, allows you to cover these kinds of things and to really kind of speak your mind and provide your opinions. How would you say, what kind of report card would you give to the media generally when it comes to covering these sorts of issues?
Very poor, very poor. It breaks my heart. This is a lapse in really living up to one's journalistic obligations. It doesn't matter how voiceless or helpless. When there is an injustice, it's incumbent upon journalists to investigate. Now, I will say there are more and more stories. I was just reading. I try not to use the paper too much, although, you know, we're all hypocrites in this culture. It's hard, but I've gotten the New York Times on my computer, but I love that Sunday Times, and somebody had thrown it in the recycle bin, and I took it, and I started reading it, and I noticed that this person had filled out the entire New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle in ink, so well done, whoever you are. But I started reading, just 10 minutes ago, I was reading, as I was having my coffee, about GMOs, and there's a proposition on the ballot in California to make sure that the genetically modified or genetically engineered food is labeled as such, or I don't know the details, so don't quote me on that. But I think what was interesting is that they talked about we as Americans deserve to know what's in our food and how it's made, and they made a reference to inhumane animal food practices. Everywhere I open an article that has to do with food, there are a lot of people who are speaking up about this. And it really is, I think, the social justice movement of the 21st century. And it's a litmus test for our level of evolution or level of civilization. As Gandhi said, you can judge a civilization by how it treats its animals, because they're the most voiceless and the most powerless. So this is really so important for human beings, because I do believe that today we're incapable of doing this to another creature, cutting off its pig's tails, docked without anesthesia, circumcision without anesthesia, cutting the beaks off of little chickens, and just throwing the male chicks out, and all of this stuff. I think that when we're incapable of doing that, we're also going to be incapable of a lot of other things, like a lot of other violence. But one of the things that I thought was a sentence that really captured the whole thing was when I saw the sentence, "Peace begins on your plate." And that just blew me away. Once I was talking, and I've passed that along. I didn't invent that, but I heard it and I said, wow, that's heavy. Because I was having lunch once with this woman who is a dear friend, and she does a lot of work for peace. And she had gotten to the restaurant first and had ordered. And so I sat down and the plate came, and it was some kind of animal, and it was just blood everywhere. It was rare. And she's talking to me in an animated fashion about her work for peace. And I said, look, I said, I'm having a little disconnect between you talking about your work for peace and the blood on your plate. And she just stopped. Like, it went right into whatever. It bypassed the rationalization, the denial, or whatever. And she looked down at her plate, and she got it. And she said, oh, my God. And it was really interesting, because she's a very smart woman, and she's written many books. And she did modify her diet. I don't know if she's a vegan or whatever. I'm not a litmus test person, but she got it, and she got the awareness. The light bulb went off.
Yeah.
How can we talk about peace when there's blood on our plate, and an innocent sentient being suffered a terrible cruelty, and was killed, and you're basically ordering the hit, and it's right there on your plate. How can we talk about peace in that context? So this is really the most important thing that we as human beings can do, is to expand our circle of compassion beyond just our immediate family, dogs and cats, to every living, feeling being on this planet. And when we do that, we will have a much happier, much, much more peaceful, much more evolved planet.
Absolutely. Well, this is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest is Jane Velez Mitchell, host of the nightly show called, appropriately enough, Jane Velez Mitchell, on the HLN Network. We invite you to join the conversation. We're in the final few minutes by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing DJ at WMNF.com. org. And, you know, just to sort of follow up what you were just pointing out about kind of the sort of conflicts or contradictions that sometimes pop up in you know, different kinds of activism. One thing I think, at least, I'm pretty sure is a pet peeve of yours, similarly, is the contradictions or even kind of hypocrisy somewhat amongst environmentalists who don't have sort of a plant-based platform. And you think, well, how...
Production is the single biggest cause of global warming, according to the United Nations. Don't take my word for it. Just Google meat production, global warming, and the United Nations. They did an in-depth study, and they concluded that global warming and climate change is far more created by meat production than transportation. And yet you have all of these environmental groups that do not have any kind of platform about vegetarianism, about even, you know, bringing more fruits and vegetables. And listen, I care about people. Look at these kids who are obese, and they're being fed this horrible diet in our public schools, primarily because it's a dumping ground for excess dairy that is being, in other words, the USDA and, or the government, let me say that, props up the prices and feeds our school children this. And we need to change our diet. We need to have fruits and vegetables, nuts and grains in our school systems, and it's going to benefit the kids. How dare we condemn a child to obesity? How dare we condemn a child to type 2 diabetes?
For sure. Well, Jane, if you have just a couple more minutes, we have callers, of course, want to speak to you, and I have a few more questions. Do you have a few more minutes? Or then we're sort of...
I have to go, unfortunately, because I have a breaking news story.
Okay.
I've been called into work, and I've got to be in the chair in 20 minutes, so I've got to get dressed and leave.
I got you.
But I just want to say that I applaud your show.
Thank you.
Let's do it again sometime.
Absolutely.
And I'm talking at the Veggie Fest this weekend in Washington, D.C.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll get you out to the Veg Fest in Tampa coming up soon too. So that'd be great. Well, anyway, thank you so much, especially when you're probably trying to race and figure out how to get over on this breaking story ASAP. I appreciate the time you did spend with us. This has been Jane Velez Mitchell. Thank you so much. We'll look forward to seeing you each weeknight on HLN, and thanks for all your great work on behalf of animals.
Thank you. You too. Right back at you. Bye.
Thanks. Okay. Well, I'm sorry for the folks who were hoping to call and speak with her, and some emails too, but glad that we had the time that we did have with her, and sounds like with any luck we'll have another chance to speak with her in the near future. So I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. This is a giveaway. You do not need to be a WMF member to win, and there'll be a prize, one of those increasingly rare, disappearing species, sort of, Talking Animals shirt, to the first person who calls in the correct title of this animal tune. It's 813-239-9663. In a moment, we'll hear a bit more about Andrew Bird's Animal Inclinations, give you a chance to pledge for tickets to his October 9th show at the Straz, and get cool tickets to a cool show and help Talking Animals and WNF all in one fell swoop. And along those lines, we'll also hear an Andrew Bird animal song. So all kinds of things coming up. Right now, though, it's a Name That Animal tune on Talking Animals. Let's take them in the order they came. This one. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Can you name that animal tune? All right, I think that might have been left over for hoping to speak to Jane. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Can you name that animal tune?
No, I can't.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks for calling anyway.
Hello?
Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Can you name the animal tune?
Is it me?
Yes, it is.
Will the Wolf Survive?
Absolutely. And bonus points, who's the artist?
Les Lobos.
Yeah, and even though song isn't from that album, I played it partly because they just put out a 20th anniversary package of Kiko, an amazing album then and now. Right. And so I just thought we'd call attention to that. So what is your first name, sir?
My first name is Harry.
Harry?
Yep.
Okay, cool, Harry. I'm going to put you back on hold, and we'll get you fixed up with a Talking Animals T-shirt or baseball shirt or something. So thanks for listening. Congratulations.
Right. Okay, thanks.
All right. Congratulations to Harry. Thanks for listening. So, anyway, yeah, so back to Andrew Bird. Now, you know, he is a really cool, fascinating fellow, well beyond making great, great music, a bunch of great albums, and he's performing, as I said earlier, October 9th at the Straz Center for the Performing Arts, and he's awesome live. And I know lots of folks are very excited about the show, including plenty of WMNFers. In fact, you can pledge for a pair of tickets to that show to help Talking Animals get a jump on raising money for the fund drive that starts 3 weeks from today. And but first, let me just tell you about a couple of animal-related things. At some point, I may have Andrew Bird on Talking Animals, because he's kind of an animal guy in some ways, well beyond his surname, as they say. So he has contributed to this Yellow Bird Project, which is an ongoing charitable project whereby musicians submit a design for a T-shirt, then designate a specific charity to receive some of the proceeds from the sale of that shirt. So Andrew Bird had an encounter, not entirely pleasant, I gather, with a peacock outside of his barn. You gotta love a guy who's got a barn, first of all. And that sort of served as the inspiration for the design of the T-shirt he contributed. And then he went with Pegasus Special Riders, Inc., the charitable organization that he designated, to benefit from the T-shirt sales. And that provides adults and children with special needs a complete horse riding experience, sort of shades of Quantum Leap Farm. We talked about last week with Dr. Edie Dopkin. So anyways, for a pledge of $100, we can get you great tickets to see Andrew Bird at the Straz Center October 9th. Please call 813-239-9663 to pledge for that, or you can also do it online, but we should kind of probably do it by phone because we only have one pair, so we got to know who's doing it. We can't have two going at the same time. So best if you call 813-239-9663. And meanwhile, while you're feverishly dialing, he said with ridiculous optimism, let's hear an Andrew Bird animal song of sorts. This is an animal on Talking Animals.
While the fish was caught on a whiz and a tender as a tender roll. See an enemy, the enemy, see an enemy, that'll be the enemy, that'll be the enemy. While the vicious fish was caught on a whiz and a tender as a tender roll. Underneath the tender gizzard, adapted to all musicals and all. Oh, and I will become this animal. Anomalous appendages, not animal, not animal. Animal, animal. this one, I know this song, I know this one, I love this song. Hold on just a second, don't tell me this one, you know I know this one, I know this song, I know this one, love this song, I know this one.
All right, that's Andrew Bird with An Animal. And again, he's performing October 9th at the Straz Center for the Performing Arts right here. So, again, if you'd like to help out Talking Animals and help out WNF at the same time, give us a little jump on the fund drive. It starts 3 weeks from today. Give us a call, 813-239-9663 to pledge for those tickets. Or in the next few minutes, you could email DJ at WMNF.com. We just have the one pair, but hope somebody steps up and wants to have a great night and help Talking Animals and WNF at the same time. So we do have a few more minutes left to get back to some of these announcements and animal news items. So another event coming up, October 13th, is the Yard Sale Extravaganza to benefit the Little Cats Rescue. And again, it's October 13th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And it's hosted by Southern Self Storage. That's at 7139 Mitchell Boulevard, Newport Richey. And so if you want to help out, in fact, maybe you even have some things you'd like to donate, gently used items, as they like to say, for the yard sale. Either way, why don't you call 727-375-2920. And they will fix you up. So, and again, Little Cat Rescue, I mentioned this recently, but, you know, great things. Obviously, just specializes in cats, and they are like, they got cats coming out of their ears. You know, it's donations, I think, have been down. Adoptions are down. And meanwhile, cat population is up because Rihanna, the great woman that runs this place, you know, is always taking in more cats and surely rescuing them from death row. And so anyway, they got cats of all colors, styles, anything you would want. And it's a great, great place. So maybe you can help out. They also have adoptions every other weekend at unlikely a place name, Dog Lovers of Tarpon. And anyway, so find out more. Little Cats Rescue is on Facebook. That's the best place to find out more information about the yard sale, how you can help out, maybe how you can volunteer or adopt, otherwise support them. So other events coming up in the area include the 12th Annual Stride for Strays Walk to Benefit Animal Coalition of Tampa. And that's going to be at Curtis Hickson Park. It's celebrating its 12th year. And the event brings animal lovers and their pets from all over Tampa for a 3K walk to help raise funds for the ACT Spay-Neuter Clinic. and their new larger facility, so walkers can register at the event's official website, strideforstrays.org. And but even if, you know, let's say you're not inclined to walk or whatever, there, you know, still a great event. There's food and fun, entertainment, live music, from Golden Fire, raffles, pet contests, and more. So, anyways, check out strideforstrays.org or actampa.org for more information about this event coming up Sunday, October 21st, from noon to 6 p.m. at Curtis Hickson. And let's see, what else is in the animal news? Well, an array of stuff, including people are steamed at Lea Michele, right? Glee star Lea Michele, longtime vegetarian, is under fire from animal rights activists for ostensibly selling out by signing a reported $1 million endorsement contract to represent L'Oreal Cosmetics. Michele confirmed the deal via Twitter, gushing, "So excited to be the new L'Oreal Paris brand spokesperson. The news isn't sitting well with the animal rights group, who are outraged that their cosmetics giants such as L'Oreal continue to test their products on animals." Ironically, as a vocal animal rights activist who filmed an anti-fur public service announcement for PETA in 2010 and 2011, she wrote New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg about the protesting the carriage horse industry. So tricky, tricky, tricky. Not so much Glee in the Lea Michele camp at the moment. And, all right, I think that's probably going to do. We've got more stuff. There's always more stuff to share, but at least we've hit the events coming up. And so let's we have just about reached now the end of the this edition of Talking Animals. And so we'll be back next Wednesday, September 26th. When our guest will be Paula Poundstone, who you might know best as a regular panelist on the NPR game show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. But she's, of course, a veteran singular comedian with, and nearly as veteran and singular, a cat lover. With upwards of 16 cats that she and her her human family share the household with, so at least at last count. So she was a guest on Talking Animals a little less than a year and a half ago, but I invited her to join me next week in anticipation of her Tampa show, October 6th, at the Stratus Center. So that's Paula Poundstone on Talking Animals next Wednesday, September 26th, at 11 a.m. I hope you'll join me then. I also hope you visit our website, talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information, as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals programs. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page, our Twitter feed, and more. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. That's all found at TalkingAnimals.net. Talking Animals broadcast outreach consultant is Libby Busalis. My thanks to her and my congratulations, too. She had a baby boy last Thursday, so she and baby JP are doing well, as are sister Alina and dad Peter. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. If you want more news and information, just turn to our digital channel. The Tom Hartman Show starts up at noon at WMF.org/thesource. But if you like fantastic, great, great music, stay tuned for the wonderful Scott Elliott and the All Souls edition of It's the Music, airing next from noon to 3. We're closing out today's show with an animal tune, brand new music from Amy Mann, where she's singing about and to and kind of as her Labrador, Daisy. Hey, we have a lab named Daisy, so let's see. It's Amy Mann, it's us, and about 13 million other people with a dog named Daisy. But anyways, by the way, there's a great, great video that goes with this. And let's look for that on YouTube. But here's Amy Mann with a song called Labrador, taking us up to the NPR News on WMNF Tampa, Odessa, Brandon, Braden, Weekiwachi, and beyond. Thanks for listening. Speak with you again next week on Talking Animals.
Daisy, you shouldn't do the things you do, but you're just so incapable of changing. You lie so well, I could never even tell what were facts in your artful rearranging. The acumen for more. Time. called Lazy. With 13 sticks, was the best I had for tricks. You got bored, you got mad, and you got crazy. Shine in the time we have remained.